Okay, we're beginning here, five lines down, on the top of Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara continues with the latter piece of the Mishnah, which is Ani Amnen Akif Birosh Zayit Masha Tachtav, that the Darche Shalom was that when an Ani was working at the top of the tree and the fruits were falling down to the ground, that they were deemed to be his for Darche Shalom, so that other people don't stand there and collect the items that he is picking. Satana Im Liket V'Natan B'Yad. If he collects them and puts them into his hand physically, harizeh gezel gamur. Then they become his mido raita. And then you're talking about gezel gamur. So the case in the Mishnah is a case where he doesn't take possession of them, and that's why it's only either a kontrabiosi gezel derabanan or darche shalom. They're just falling because he's hitting the tree, shaking the tree, he's picking them off, but he doesn't actually touch them. But if he's liket v'natan b'yad, if he physically takes them, then it becomes Gezel Gamur. Tosafot points out over here that it's not that he actually carries them or holds them, but rather simply that while he's picking them, they come into his hand. And he says, Nireh de'itzrich leshminon b'talshan b'yado u'mepilan. He's picking them with his hand and knocking them down. Afo b'shalom nit'akvu b'yado. They never stayed in his hand. It's not that they were in possession there and stayed there. The only purpose he had was he grabbed them to pull them down and then they went to the ground. So even though he never held them in particular to make a kinyan on them, the fact that he came into contact with them while he's picking them in his hand, that's enough already to make it a din d'oraito. And therefore, the aniyah min akeif is likely using some other object to shake the fruits off the tree where he doesn't physically touch or grab the fruits to pick them. And that's why it's Gezel Midivrehem according to Yossi or Darche Shalom according to the Tana Kana. Rav Kana of Ka'azel Luhutzo. Rav Kana was traveling to Hutzo. Chazila Ugavra, Davishade, Ofye, Vikanatrin Tamre. He was throwing Ofye and the dates were falling off the tree. Azel Kamantit Va'ochil. He went ahead and he grabbed some to eat them. So Rashi explains over here, Shadi Ofye is that he was throwing sticks at the tree. Or shaking the tree, whatever it was that he was doing, he was throwing sticks. Remember, the dates are very high up on the palm tree. So he was throwing sticks up there to knock the dates down, and they came down. And then Rav Kahana went ahead and collected the dates that were there. Amalei chazimar debiyadai shedidinhu. He says back to him, didn't you see that I took them in my hand? If I take them into my hand, you can't take them. That's the halacha that we just learned. And once they go into the hand of the individual, then the other party can't take them. Amalei. So Rav Kahana says back to him, Atrei de Rebbe Shaya ata. You must be from the city of Rebbe Shaya. Karyalei tzadik yisod olam. Called Rebbe Shaya a tzadik yisod olam because he made sure that everybody in his city knew the halachot. He was dorish b'rabim, and he taught the people of the city halachot. And here you see, this guy who was picking dates knows the halacha that if it was in his hand, that he has full possession of it. And Rav Kahana can't take it. Now, the problem with the story, according to Rashi, is twofold. The first of which is, if he's throwing sticks, how did it ever get into his hand? I mean, that he's not coming into contact with the fruit, so how did it get into his hand? That's number one. Number two problem with the story is, according to Rashi, why was Rav Kahana picking them up? Even if they did not come into his hand, which would make it Gezel Doraita, there's still our Mishnah, which makes it Gezel, because of Darche Shalom. So why was Rav Kahana picking them up? For that reason, Tosafot prefers the alternative explanation and says, like the Rabbeinu Chananel, that the case here is where he is taking down the branches of the palm tree. He was cutting the branches. He was doing some other work on the palm tree. Along with that, the dates came off or were cut off. So he says, Ofyu means chariot shel dekel, means the leaves, the palms of the dekel. And so Shadi Dofi means he was throwing the leaves down. He was taking off the leaves and throwing them down. And then the dates came off with them because the bunches of the dates were connected or around that area. And so Rav Kahana assumed that this individual just wanted the palm branches, didn't want the dates. And that's why he took them. He mistook his intention over here. And that's why he took them. And that's why the guy responds to him and says, didn't you see that I took the dates in my hand, which Rav Kahana hadn't seen. He thought that he was just getting the palm branches, not the dates. That's the way Tosafot explains to deal with this issue. There are others that want to explain what Rav Kahana's error was here, which would allow them to still, at least in portion, explain Rashi's pshat, the hardest still part of Rashi's pshat is that, did you see I put them in my hand? Which, according to Rashi, is difficult because he's throwing sticks at them, so how did he come into contact with them? But the others suggest that Rav Kahana's mistake was either he believed that the Mishnah only applied to matnot aniyim. The Darchei Shalom, or the example brought in our Mishnah, is only with regards to aniyim that are by the tree, taking the matnot aniyim, who says that it's a broad halacha of Darchei Shalom. That's one possibility what Rav Kahana's assumption was here. But when the guy says, I took it into my hand, then there's nothing to speak about because there's no more Darchei Shalom. We're talking about a din d'oraita. Or the other possibility is that Rav Kahana thought he wasn't Jewish. And therefore the inyan of Darchei Shalom did not apply to him. And if he was just knocking the fruits down, Rav Kahana thought he could take them. Maybe he didn't think he saw him. But then the individual identifies himself and clearly is Jewish. And therefore there was either a problem with Darchei Shalom, but he says it's not even Darchei Shalom, it's a problem of Geneva or Gezel because I picked them, I took them off with my hand. So that's the way that other Mefarshim deal with this issue of what mistake Rav Kahana made in terms of taking the dates. So here, to your question, there are times where we do not reject the poor of the Nachrim, non-Jewish poor who come to take Leket Shechem Peah because of Darchei Shalom. So if they come to collect along with the Jewish Aniyim, we don't stop them from coming and collecting. Tanur Banan, Mifarnesim Aniyei Nachrim Im Aniyei Yisrael. When it comes to giving tzedakah, we give out tzedakah to the Jewish poor and the non-Jewish poor, Mipnei Darchei Shalom. Meaning that if there is this open area or open place, like a soup kitchen or places where they're giving tzedakah to Aniyim, we won't differentiate and say, oh, you're not Jewish, don't come here, because of Darchei Shalom. Umivakrei Cholei Nachrim and Cholei Yisrael. And we do Bikur Cholim for the non-Jews along with the Jews because of Darchei Shalom. Bikovrim Meitei Nachrim and Meitei Yisrael. And we bury the non-Jewish dead with the Jewish dead. Mipnei Darchei Shalom. Because of Darchei Shalom. Now Rashi already qualifies the statement and he says, Lo Bikivrei Yisrael. It's not that we put them into the Jewish cemetery. We bury them in their appropriate place in the non-Jewish cemetery. But if we're already, and it seems from Rashi, engaged in Matzaum Harugim Im Yisrael, we found them murdered, we found them together at a scene, we don't just say, okay, we'll take care of the Jewish, we don't take care of the non-Jewish bodies. That is Mipnei Darchei Shalom. The deal that you would make out, and some of the Rishonim note this from Rashi, is that it's only when there are Meitei Yisrael involved that we say, okay, then Mipnei Darchei Shalom, we deal with the Meitei Nachrim. But if it's simply Meitei Nachrim, then we don't obligate you to deal with them because you could just say, I don't deal with Meitim. We don't deal with this stuff. This is not our area. There's ways to slip out of it and not have to be engaged. But once you're already engaged with the Meitei Yisrael, then you can't make that claim and you have to deal with the Meitei Nachrim. So that's how it would read from Rashi. There are Rishonim who disagree with that and say that even in cases where it's just Meitei Nachrim, but they rely or they know that the Jewish institutions deal with this and they call them to come in, then Mipnei Darchei Shalom, we deal with them. So this has ramifications, not usually in the Meitim, but the Mevakrei Cholim or treatment where, for instance, Hatzalah is called to non-Jewish homes. That is an issue because generally it was set up to be a service to the Jewish community, but other people know that Hatzalah is pretty good and comes much faster. So sometimes the non-Jews engage the Hatzalah, are called Hatzalah. So then we treat them Mipnei Darchei Shalom. And obviously has ramifications if they're called on Shabbat, which makes it even more difficult or harder. Not an issue for here, but this issue of Darchei Shalom comes up in all of these instances. Now next Mishnah is, Mashelet Isha Lechaverta Chashuda LaShvi'it. A woman is allowed to lend to her friend who is suspect of violating Shvi'it. As Rashi says over here, that the Ala Shvi'it is Lishmor Perot Shvi'it. Lishmor Perot Shvi'it is to guard, meaning they don't allow their fields to be hefker, and they keep the fruits of those fields. Or, Latzniyam Min Abior Velech, to keep Perot Shvi'it past their expiry date, to keep them beyond the point of the Bi'ur. There are other things that they're also Chashud on, which is sometimes to do Schorab Perot Shvi'it, that they do business with Perot Shvi'it. So because of that Chashad, you would think maybe she can't lend these items to her. Nevertheless, we say that she's allowed to lend these utensils to her. Nafa, kvara, asif, the sieve, rechayim, a mill, vitanur, and an oven. Aval, lotavur, velo titchanima. She may not do borer or tchina with her. She may not do separating out or milling with her. So you're allowed to lend her kelim. You're allowed to give her utensils to do by herself. But what you can't do is actively be involved with what she does. That's because, as we'll see, it's a problem of misayeya le'ovrei avera. We don't allow you to give support or help to people who are doing the wrong thing. Obviously, here she's doing the wrong thing because of the perot shvi'it. So we're not going to allow you to engage directly to help her out, but indirectly we'll let you help her out, mipnei darchei shalom. Because of darchei shalom, otherwise the neighborly relations will break down pretty fast, because here she comes to borrow something from you and you won't lend it to her, she'll get upset about that and it'll cause a lot of friction. So mipnei darchei shalom, they allowed you to lend those utensils, but not to actively get engaged and work with her on these items, because of misayeya le'ovrei avera. Misayeya le'ovrei avera means when you're directly involved, you're not facilitating the avera. Mipnei yiver lo titen michshol is only a violation, as the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us, is when you facilitate the ability for this person to do the avera. Without you, they wouldn't be able to do the avera. Here, they're doing the avera with or without you. So that isn't an issue. The only issue is this din derabanan of misayeya le'ovrei avera, which is helping out people who are engaged in doing the wrong thing, giving them tmicha, giving them support, which isn't allowed, even though you're not the facilitator of the avera. Tosafot over here asks, there's a Mishnah in Shvi'it, which says that you're allowed to lend items to a amaretz, or a person who's chashud al shvi'it, as long as you can come up with a reason, permitted reason, why they would use this utensil. You can hand them a utensil, for instance, like a tochein, like a mill, because they could be milling spices, they could be milling things that have nothing to do with shvi'it. So over there, the Mishnah says that you can lend items to the amaretz as long as it's not absolutely certain they're going to use it for a davar isur. As long as there's a way you could explain that they're using it for something besides the isur, then you're allowed to lend it to them. So Tosafot says, why does our Mishnah say the reason you can lend over here is mipnei darchei shalom, when the reason simply is these items could all be used for something besides perot shvi'it. And so therefore, even though they're chashuda perot shvi'it, nevertheless, it doesn't mean that they are going to use them for perot shvi'it. So Tosafot here says, because of that, that the case here, v'omer Rabbeinu Tam, d'hocha, bi'adua, she'en la'ela perot shvi'it. It's a case where you know for certain that she's going to use them with perot shvi'it. So when you know for certain they're going to use them with perot shvi'it, then they don't have that dispensation that the item can be used for something she'll have there. That's gone by the wayside. Why are you then allowed to lend to them? The answer is mipnei darchei shalom. And what the Tosafot, the Rabbeinu Tam, points out is their chei shalom is only a dispensation when you're dealing with lending between neighborly issues. But by mecher, where you're selling items to the amaretz, which is the context of the Mishnah and Shvi'it, so where you're selling items to them, there we don't say darchei shalom. If we don't know for certain they're going to use it for Yisur, then we say go ahead and sell it to them. You could sell an ox to them because they could shech the ox for its meat. They don't have to use it to plow the field. So you can sell the ox because there's something being told leheter. But if you know for sure they're going to use it to plow the field, then you can't sell it to them. So here is a case where you know for certain she's going to use it with perot shvi'it. So that's gone by the wayside. Saying that they're going to use it for heter doesn't apply anymore. But when it's talking about lending, and it's between a Jew and a Jew, there we say, mipnei darchei shalom, that we allow you to do that lending. But in the cases where it's mecher, you're selling that into them, if you know for sure they're going to use it for isur, then you can't do that, because darchei shalom doesn't apply to mecher, and doesn't apply to ovdei kochavim. So that's how Tosafot explains our Mishnah. Then Tosafot says, if that's the case, the first question in the Gemara is going to become more difficult, because the Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference between the cases in the Mishnah? According to the Rabbeinu Tam, it's obvious what the difference is between the cases, so we'll explain that when we get there. The next part of the Mishnah, which is called the Seifa, is a case of an Eshet Amaretz. Mashelet l'Eshet Amaretz, you're allowed to lend to the wife of an Amaretz, assuming that this woman is an Eshet Chaver, she's the wife of a Chaver, Nafa Ukvara. So Tosafot already here notes that the list ends here. In the previous list, we said Nafa Ukvara Rechaim V'Tanur. How come over here, Rechaim and Tanur are not mentioned? Tosafot in the first answer says, V'hu Adin, the Tanur V'Rechaim. It just didn't want to be bothered to list everything out again. So it gave you the first two, and it's as if it's saying dot, 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 or etc. means the rest, the remainder of the list. Or, he says that there is a possibility that over here, inami mishum de tanur in derech lahashilo. Because by tanur, people don't generally lend out a tanur or give over their tanur. And that's why they, once they didn't put the tanur in, they didn't put the rechayim in. So because of that, there might be a difference between the chashuda shvi'it, who's only a problem of perot shvi'it, not a problem of tum'ah, versus the eshet ha'aretz, which is a problem of tum'ah. And that may differentiate, because then if the tanur becomes tamei, you have to break it. There's nothing to do for a tanur that becomes tamei except to break it. And that's a significant loss to you in that case. So maybe by the chashuda shvi'it, you do lend the oven, but not in the case by the chashuda or the ha'aretz. Uboreret, vitochenet, umeraketet ima. You're allowed to do all of these things that you weren't allowed to do with the choshedu ha-shvit. You can separate them out. You can be tochein. You can mill them, miraketet. You can sift them with her. I mean, that you can do all of these activities with her. Even though, we said before, you're not allowed to be misayeya, the ovrei aveira. So that's me, the first question of the Gemara is, how come by the choshedu ha-shvit, you're not allowed to help her? And over here, by the Eshet ha'aretz, you're allowed to help her. About Misha Tatil et Amayim, once the water is poured together with the flour to make it into dough, lo tigayima. You can't work with her anymore. V'ishein machzikin yidei ovrei aveira. Because we don't allow you to help out, people are doing the wrong thing. Over here, once you pour the water into it, and you're lush, and you need it, it becomes chayevet in chala. Once it's chayevet in chala, if you make it me'ah, then you have a problem, because now it's chala betumah. And chala betumah is problematic, even though the chala is not separated out yet. The chala is a din like truma. And if you're mitamei it, that is asur midoraita to be mitamei chala. There might even be when chala is already tmeah. There might still be a requirement of mishmeret to guard it from getting to more tumah, making it tamei again. And therefore, we don't want you engaged. As Tosafot points out over here, even though you're only chayevet in chala once you do lalash, once you need it, nevertheless, we stop you already mishetatil mayim. Once you put it in the water, probably to give a little bit of harchaka or to stop. Once you get the water involved, we don't want you involved with this anymore. And that's the stopping point. V'kulam lo amru. And the reason why we're matir in all these cases, the Mishnah, even though technically it's not the best situation, mipnei darchei shalom. Because of darchei shalom, to keep the civility between different parties and not make these religious issues a dividing point to the point where it makes relations untenable. You're allowed to encourage non-Jews that are working in the Shvi'it to work harder, do well, things are good. But not a Jew who is working the field. You can't encourage them to work the field or to have their produce be successful. And you're allowed to greet them because of Darchei Shalom. Now, this is talking about a Nachri as well. All the days you're allowed to greet them because of Darchei Shalom. Well, that seems strange. Why can't you be civil? What's wrong with being civil? But they'll be kochavim. So as Rashi notes over here, Afa pi shemetil al nachri shem shamayim. Even though he's using the shame of Hashem to greet him, Shashalom shamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not talking about saying good morning or something civil. It's in particular using the word Shalom, which involves the shame of Hashem or something that's unique or special type of greeting. That greeting we allow you to give also to the Nachri, just like you give it to the Jews, because of Darchei Shalom. So it's not talking about just normal civility, which of course, you don't need a mission to tell you that you should be civil and treat people nicely. The only question is, can you use this special type of greeting of the Shem Hashem to be associated with them? That is what the Mishnah gives you a dispensation for, that if you're doing it for the Jews, you can do it for the Nachrim as well, because of Darchei Shalom. So now the Gemara asks the question that we already noted in the Mishnah, Maishna Reisha or Maishna Seifa. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa of the Mishnah? In the Reisha, we don't allow you to be involved at all with the activities of the Chashudal Shvi'it, because it's Misayel Ovrei Avira. Whereas by the Amma Aretz, we allow you to be involved in the process until Tuma becomes an issue. Why is that? Why don't we worry about you being involved early in the process? Because there's Trumot and Masrot that have to be taken off, and they're not going to be mafrish, the Trumot and Masrot. And so there you have a problem as well in terms of being misayeya le'ovrei aveira. So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, Rov Amei Aretz, Masrim Heim. Most of the Amei Aretz take off Masrot, and therefore we don't have to worry about you working with these materials that are Tevel, and don't have the Masrot taken off of them, because Rov Amei Aretz separate out Masrot. And therefore we're not worried about you engaging with this woman and working with them as far as Masrot are concerned. But with as far as Tumah is concerned, there we do worry, and that's why we stop you at the point where we shift from a problem of Trumot to Masrot over to a problem of Tumah. Just a note here, this is where Tosafot says that the Rabbeinu Tam's explanation is a little hard. Because Rabbeinu Tam said before that the Chashuda Shvit is a case where we know for certain that she is dealing with Peirot Shvit. So then, when you say the Gemara asks here, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa, the answer is, because the Reisha we know she's dealing with a Chashuda Shvit that's dealing with Peirot Shvit. And in the Seifa, it's still only a chashash. It's just a safek. So that's what Tosfot says. V'im tomar the pesher with him. My parich b'gemara. My shnareisha. My shnaseifa. Kevim v'dai perot shvitari. V'esh lamar kasav hashas. Da achmur rabon mitzvot hachashudim kilhu b'vadai tevel. Dukmei hachazoko. So because the way that the Gemara is looking at it is, well, if the Amei Aretz don't always take off their trumot masrot, then we just assume it's as if they haven't taken it off. So even though there's a chance they took it off, it's a safek, once we've determined that we don't trust them in this area, we make it as if they didn't take it off. So now you're dealing with 200% cases. 100% that it's perot shvit, and 100% that they didn't take off trumot masrot. Even though it's really a safek, we deem it as if it wasn't taken off. And that's why the Gemara asks, what's the difference between these cases? So Rav Amar, Rav offers an alternative to Abaye's answer. Hocha b'amar is the Rabbi Meir. This is talking about Amar is a Dari Meir, but Tuma v'Tahara derabanan. And therefore, we're only dealing with Tuma and Tahara derabanan. Titania, Ezu Amaretz. What is the definition of an Amaretz? Kol she'enu ochel chulav b'Tahara, divrei Rabbi Meir. It's someone who doesn't keep chulin b'Tahara. That's called an Amaretz. Chamim Arim, kol she'enu ma'aser perutav. Chamim says, someone who doesn't take off Shumot Masrot is called an Amaretz. First of all, Tosafot points out that this definition of Am Aretz is for this particular issue, and that there are many definitions given through Shas about what an Am Aretz is, and even Rabbi Meir has alternate opinions other places in Shas, and that's for different things like Zimun and other areas of Halacha. This is particular to this area of Halacha, what's the definition of an Am Aretz? Rabbi Meir simply says that someone who doesn't keep Chulin B'Tahara, but they're trusted to take off Trumot and Masrot. On the other hand, the Chachamim say that an Am Aretz is somebody who doesn't take off Trumot and Masrot. So the answer of Rava is that we're talking about an Am Aretz of Rabbi Meir. An Am Aretz of Rabbi Meir, Shmot and Masrot are taken off, but in terms of Tuma and Tahara, they don't keep Tuma. But there are different levels of Tuma. Once you reach the point where the Chala is coming into the process, then we're dealing with Tuma d'oraita. That's a restriction in a Torah to be metameh the Chala, that it is Tevel the Chala. That's an Isur d'oraita. There we say, out of the picture, you can't be there. In the case of Tumat Chulin, where you're dealing with the items prior to that, Tumat Chulin is only a Chumrah Midrabanan. So there we waive that Chumrah Midrabanan because of Darchei Shalom. So that's the way Rava explains it. Now, according to Rashi, Rashi says that Rava fundamentally argues on Abaye and says that Rava Me'aretz are not Masrim Heim. And Rava thinks that it's a 50-50 shot if they are take off Trumot Masrot. Therefore, he goes to Rabbi Meir Shita, who believes that they do take off Trumot and Masrot, they just don't keep Chulin B'Tahara. That's how Rava answers it. That's Rashi's view. Tosafot says that Rava agrees with Abaye that Rava Me'aretz Masrim Heim. And Rava himself, in other places in Shas, says that Rava Me'aretz are Masrim Heim. And the machloket between Abaye and Rava here is about the way that we weigh different issues. One issue is Demai. Demai is the issue of whether our merits take off Trumot and Masrot. The other issue is Tuma Midrabanan, Chulin B'Tahara. That is the question of how much emphasis do we put on those issues. Abaye Mekel Tvei, L'Sayei B'Maser B'Mituma B'Tahara D'Rabanan. He says that we're much more Mekel with regards to Trumot and Masrot than to deal with Tuma and Tahara D'Rabanan. V'Roba Ipcha, because Rabbi believes just the opposite. So the question then is, between Abaye and Rava, what is the relative standing of Tuma Derabanan versus the Chashash of Masrot? So what Abaye says is that, with regards to Trumot and Masrot, we say Rava Amei Aretz Masrin Hein. With regards to Tumah Derabanan, if there is a Chashash Tumah, then we will not allow you to work with this individual. If there is no Chashash Tumah, then we will let you work with this individual. As we'll see later on in the Gemara will make a distinction as to why there's no problem of Tumah over here. On the other hand, Rova says that, just like by Rova Me'aretz Masrinim, so too by Tumah Derabanan, we're willing to give a dispensation because of Darchei Shalom. And therefore, we will be Mekil also by Tumah for Darchei Shalom. So it's a question of emphasis over here, according to Tosafot, which is that everybody agrees that Rova Me'aretz are Masrinim. The question is, does that the primary issue, which Abai says, yes, Rova Me'aretz Masrinim, but you also have this problem of Chulin B'Tahara. And Chulin B'Tahara, we hold to a higher standard. Rova just says the opposite. Tumah, Darchei Shalom, that overcomes the problem. So Tosafot says that it's a nuanced machloket versus Rashi, who sees this as a fundamental machloket as to whether Rov Ame'aretz Masrim Haim. So now the Gemara says, V'ha Miktani Seifa. The latter part of the Mishnah says, Mishtatila Tamayim Lotiga Ima. Once the water is poured in, you can't touch it with her. Michlal Dereisha La B'Tumah V'Tara Askina. Seems to be that that's the point at which Tumah becomes a problem, because water is introduced. Once you will introduce water, that's the time that Tumah becomes a serious issue. And Tumah Doraita. So from that, it seems like before that point, there was no Tumah problem. Otherwise, we would have prevented you from being engaged. So that means that the Mechlal D'Reisha, the case by where you're helping or doing the Tchina, the Breira, the Harkada, there was no problem of Tumah. Where it says, Reisha V'Seifa B'Tumah V'Tara. Now they're both talking about problems of Tumah V'Tara. Reisha B'Tumat Chulin, Seifa B'Tumat Chala. The difference is that the Reisha is talking about Tumat Chulin, which is only Tumah D'Rabbanan. The Seifa is talking about Tumah De'oraita. Once you put the water in, when you're dealing with Challah, that's Tumah De'oraita. So that's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. And that's why we make them stop once you reach that point where the water goes in, because then you're shifting from a Din De'Rabbanan to a Din De'oraita. And over here, the Rabbeinu Tam notes that there are Mishnayot in Avodah Zarah. In Avodah Zarah and Daf Nun Hei Nun Vav, there the Gemara says that you're not allowed to work with a Nachtom, a Jewish baker, or certain people are going to be mitamei the items. So over there, what Rabbeinu Tam distinguishes between the cases over there where we make you separate much earlier to the cases over here, is Rabbeinu Tam's here, it's the hatamos se perot bitumak tani, mashma devadai bitumak ovid. The cases in Avodah Zarah where you know for sure that he's doing them bitumah. Over there, we are much more stringent halachot. Elo b'choshud ba'alma. Over here, we're talking about someone we're worried about that they're going to be mitameh them, not that we are certain that they're going to mitameh them. And therefore, if you look in the Tosafot, he comes up with different thresholds about where we're going to stop you depending on what the issue is. If we know for sure there is tumah here, then we won't let you be involved in the process at all. If there's a possibility that the item can become a tumah, then we won't let you be involved at all. In cases where it's only a safek tumah, and it only becomes challah once you put the mayim in and you start to knead it, then we will let you be involved in the process until that point in time because of the nature of the safek, as well as the fact that it won't become challah until much later on. And Tosafot makes a similar distinction as to why over here we stop you all the way back at Tatila Mayim versus in other cases where we only worry about it from the time that you start to knead. And he says that's because in other cases, the Safeka Tumah, or the late at the Safek already took place. And that's why you can go all the way till the point of kneading. Whereas over here, where there is a Safek, but we don't know if there is Safek Tumah yet, because the item itself we are deeming to be Tahor, there we make you stop at the earlier threshold of Mishitatil Amayim, once the water is put in. Gemara says over here, Viraminhu, we have a question on Rava. Tochanim umafkidim etzel ochlei shviit. You can mill your stuff and then deposit it for someone who is choshud on shviit. You can leave it with them and put it in deposit with them. Etzel ochel perotem bituma, or somebody who keeps their perot bituma, you can deposit it there and assume that your perot are your perot and they're not shviit, and that your perot are tehorim and not tmeim. Aval, but you can't do is lo lo ochlei shviit. You cannot mill for people who are eating perot shvit, below the uchlei perotem bitumah, and done for people who are eating bitumah. So we see over here that when it comes with tumah, you're not allowed to be involved in the process with them, even from much an earlier stage. Rava said before, Mipnei Darchei Shalom, we allow you to not worry about Tumah, and we allow you to do Tchina, Harkadah, all of these processes with the Amaretz, or Eshet Amaretz. How come over here, all of a sudden the Brayta is saying, no go, if there's Tumah involved, you cannot be involved at all. If you want to deposit with them, that's fine, but you can't work with them directly. So Amar Abaye, Abaye here is answering on behalf of Rava. For Abaye, it's not a question, because Abaye, the only issue in our Mishnah was a problem of Shumot Amasrot. Shumot Amasrot, they Rova Amayaretz Masrimim, so that's why I don't worry about it. Tuma, that's a totally different issue. Our Mishnah wasn't dealing with that. But according to Rava, where our Mishnah was dealing with Tuma, you have a stira between our Mishnah and this Braita now, where our Mishnah permits it, and the Braita does not permit it. So Amar Abaye, Otam, Bekoin, Achashud, Echol, Shuma, Bituma, Askinan. It's a case where we worry about a Kohen who is chashud to eat the truma bit tumah skinan. Therefore, if you're involved with this, then you have a tuma doraita. And Rava agrees when we're dealing with tuma doraita that it doesn't work. Remember, our Mishnah differentiates between tuma derabanan and tuma doraita. By tuma doraita, by chala, you're not allowed to be involved in the process. By tuma derabanan, with chulin bitara, then we allow you to be involved in the process. Over here, you have a bigger problem because this kohen is chashud to eat chumat me'a bit Tuma. And that's a problem because if he eats it with Tuma, he's violating a din doraita. So if you're helping him out here and you're doing this stuff and you're being milling it and doing all work, this work for him, he's going to end up eating this stuff with Tuma, and then you're misayeya le'ovrei avera in Tuma deoraita, which is a problem. So Gemara says, yochi mafkedinin. And if that's the case, how can you deposit this stuff with this Kohen Amaretz who's chashud to eat Tuma with Tuma? Veraminu, mafkidin truma etzel Yisrael amaretz. You're allowed to deposit your truma with a amaretz, below etzel kohen amaretz, but not with a kohen amaretz, mipnei libo gasba. The difference between them is that a Yisrael gives a certain amount of deference to the truma that is deposited with him. We see that in the Mishnayot and Nidarim, if you remember, that when the thieves come in to steal, and he says he takes a neder, that the stuff is either kochim, or truma, they back off. So you see that there's a certain amount of deference given to truma. So the Amaretz knows it's truma, he won't touch it. Even though he thinks he's tahor, we don't want him in contact with it. He'll respect that because it's truma and he'll stay away from it. The other hand, a Kohen Amaretz, who normally eats truma, doesn't have any separation or anxiety about truma, he'll touch it because he doesn't feel that there's any reason for him not to be in contact with this truma. He thinks he's tahor. So because of that, how can you be talking about a Kohen Amaretz here? If you deposit it with the Kohen Amaretz, then we would worry about it becoming Tamei. And so then the second half of the Braita doesn't make any sense. It's a case where it's sealed and locked. It's inside a barrel that's completely sealed, and therefore Tumat Maga can't get to it. Even if you touch the barrel, Klicheres is not Mekabel Tuma Migabo from its outside. Even if there's Tumat mate in the house, we know that the Torah says in Pashat Chukat that anything that is Samid Patil protects it from Tumat Tameit. So here it's in this sealed item so that we don't worry about it. It's not become Tamei, and that's why it's permitted to deposit it there. Wait, that's great for Tumat Maga, but there's Tumat Hesed. Tumat Hesed is when you move an object, you shake an object, then that object becomes Tamei, even though you never came into direct contact with it. So if his wife picks up this item over here, then it would become Tamei, even though she doesn't come into direct contact with it. Even a sealed barrel, the fact that she moves the barrel conveys the Tuma to everything that is there. Even if she just shakes the barrel, so she doesn't have to pick it up. That would be a problem. Now, Tosafot over here points out that we're only worried about the Ishto Nida doing this. We're not worried about the Amma Aretz himself doing this. Why is that? Why is there a difference between him and Ishto Nida? So it's very interesting. As Tosafot points out right here, don't we think that an Amaretz has a din like an Zav in other places? For instance, when Amaretz spits, we worry about that spittle having Tuma in it. We treat it like the Tumat Zav. We treat him like a Zav. If that's the case, he'd also have Tumat Hesed just like a Nida. So how come over here we're worried about his wife moving it and we're not worried about him moving it? So Tosafot here brings three different answers to deal with the issue. The first of which is, Hainu mishum delo gazur alav chumra yetera, gigo mishkav moshav eseit, ein tzibur yocholim la'amod ba. He says it would be a gzera that the tzibur couldn't deal with. It's one thing that if his wife is mitamei beheseit, but if every Amaretz is mitamei beheseit, you're going to make it impossible for people to exist or to interact with these individuals, because everything they touch, move, everything is going to become tamei. And therefore they were not gozer, even though they're gozer on him to be a zav, this was an exception. Mishkav and Mosav and Hesef were not included in that package because it'd be impossible to live with that type of institution of the Chachamim. That's one way that he deals with it. The other way that he deals with it is to say that Rav Moshe Mipuntiza says, "Lushum davar lo so amaretz kezav," that they did not make the amaretz like a zav. Veinu mitamei el mitam bigadim shemi yashva lehem ishto nida. And the only reason we worry about a zav is because of the same problem here, which is that maybe his wife sat on his clothes. And if his wife sat on his clothes, then mitamei b'mishkav moshav, because she's a nida. If that's the case, then the tumah that we're dealing with is a tumah because of his wife. So it's not that we make the amaretz into a zav, but simply that we worry about the fact that his clothing came into contact with his wife, and now he's tamei because of his wife, not because of he himself. Says that the reason that his spittle is problematic is because he's no seya, his saliva, and that's a problem not because he's deemed to be a zav. Tosafot rejects that understanding and says that's a very difficult explanation. Tosafot gives a middle view here, which is that we weren't gozer on them tumat azav, but particular types of tumat that look like a zav, but he's not deemed to be a zav in general. And therefore, only certain tumot did they pick and choose to make the amaretz tamei in. So again, not that he is deemed to be a zav with exceptions, he's deemed not to be a zav with exceptions. And that's the way that Tosafot deals with this. But the clear problem here is with the wife and not with the amaretz because of that. So El Amar Birmi Elokasha, Kan Peirot Shul Chshiru, Kan Peirot Shul Chshiru. It's a very simple answer here. The difference between our Mishnah and the Braita is what stage the Peirot are at. If the stage of the Peirot is at, are that they have yet to be Mukhshar Lekabel Tumah. Mukhshar Lekabel Tumah means that they've been primed to accept Tumah. How do you prime items to accept Tumah? Liquids. Have to be washed by liquids. So in the case of our Mishnah, it's a case where they were not yet primed to be Mekabel Tumah. So if that's the case, we're only dealing with Tumah Derabanan. Tumah Derabanan, we waive because of Darche Shalom. The Braita is dealing with items that were already Hukshar Lekabel Tumah, primed already to be Mekabel Tumah. There you're dealing with serious Tumah. If they come into contact with them, then you're dealing with possibly Tumah Doraita, if there's Tumah involved and things like that. And that's why the Braita says, don't be involved with them. You cannot Tochein, you can't do any work with them because then you are Misayeya Le'ovrei Aveira. And that'll be the distinction in the cases. Despite that fact, if you deposit it with them, in case of Hafkada, of depositing in the Braita, will also be a case where they're Lo Mukhsharim Le'kabel Tumah. And since they're not Mukhsharim Le'kabel Tumah, we don't have to worry about them becoming tamei by the amaretz touching them or engaging with them. And that's why we're not dealing with the Kohen amaretz anymore necessarily. We're dealing with regular amaretz. The difference being what stage the peirot are at. The stage of the peirot are pre being mukhshar lekabel tumah, then we darche shalom, we allow you to deal with them. If they're post mukhshar lekabel tumah, they already have extra lekabel tumah, there we won't let you deal with them. Gemara says, "Viriminu." Is that really the case? Someone who takes his kernels, his wheat kernels, to go be milled by a kuti or an amaretz. They have the same chazaka for maser shavit, avalolutumah. So if you gave him something that is already musar, you can assume you got it back. If you gave him something that's not shvi'it, you can assume you got back something that was not shvi'it. But if you gave him something tahor, you cannot assume that you got it back Tahor, that it is likely tamei. So Gemara says, "Hi, my Rumya. What's the question from this Braita? Lavu kimna bepeirot shlo hukshiru? Didn't I already tell you there's a difference between cases where the peirot are mukshar or lo mukshar? So that's the same thing here. The answer to the question here is that it was already mukshar the kabel tumah, and therefore we worry when you hand it over to the amaretz that they're going to become tameim because it's already mukshar the kabel tumah. So we don't want you handing them over or working with him." Mar says, the Kari Law, Makari Law. What was the questioner thinking? It's so obvious, the distinction that we already made between Mukhsha the Kabul Tumah and not Mukhsha the Kabul Tumah. And that was the answer to this question from the Braita. So then why did you even ask this question? Meaning that here we already made a distinction between Mukhsha the Kabul Tumah and Lo Mukhsha the Kabul Tumah. Our Mishnah is a case where it's Lo Mukhsha the Kabul Tumah, and therefore Mipnei Darchei Shalom we allow it. The Braita says you can't work with them. That's a case where they're already mukhshar the kabul tuma. Ah, you said in the bright that you're allowed to deposit with them? You're allowed to deposit with them when they're not mukhshar the kabul tuma, because then we're not worried about tuma. Ah, you brought a bright to hear that you're not allowed to deposit with them for them to work with it and give it back to you. You're worried about tuma. We already told you there's a distinction between whether they're already mukhshar or not mukhshar. The case where it said in the brighter before you're allowed to be mafkid them is a case where it wasn't mukhshar the kabul tuma. The case over here where you're not allowed to be mafkid, or if you leave it with them, we worry about tuma, is a case where they're already mukhshar the kabul tuma. And that's what the Gemara says. My Rumia, what's the question here? Lava kumni beperich lo hukshiru. I already told you the previous brighter where you're mafkid is a case where lo hukshiru the kabul tuma. This is a case here where it's mukhshar the kabul tuma, and I can explain to you these differences all over the place. The Gemara says, utgari la makari la. Okay, the answer is so obvious. What was the questioner thinking? Why did he even bring this as a question? Mishom de kabay le mimre achwiti Allah. Because he wanted to bring another braita that is a problem. Hayrelu bechez katan de maser de shvit ulechluf elo chashinan. This question is, do we not worry about them swapping out the stuff? We're saying here, when you give them stuff that's musar, you get back musar. You give them stuff that's not shvit, you get back not shvit. We assume that he doesn't swap out whatever you give him. He makes it tamei, but he doesn't swap it out. Is that really true that we do not worry? Do we not worry about the stuff being stopped out? But don't we have other braitot and mishnayot that seem to indicate otherwise? The truth is that you could have asked it from the original case that we brought as well, the original braita, because the original braita says mafkidin. You're allowed to deposit with them. If you deposit it with them, then why is it that that braita is not also a question, or why is that question not derived from that braita? So why do you need to bring another braita to bring the question? So it could be that the Gemara just wanted to have it more obvious or explicit. In our braita here, it's explicit that there is no worrying about shvi'it and maser when you give it to him. The other braita implied that there was no problem. Or you could distinguish and say the previous braita, the one that we brought at the top of the amud, was a case where it was only a chashash or chashud, or maybe because in that braita, the person is working with them, so we don't have to worry about chiluf. And if they deposited it, they might have put on a siman, so the person's afraid to swap it out because it might be caught in the act. But in this braita, where there's no differentiation between the products, that's where we start to worry about chiluf, and that's why the Gemara brings this braita to create this stira between cases where it seems that we don't worry about chiluf, and other cases where we do worry about chiluf. So now, v'reminu, anotein l'chamuto. Person who gives to his mother-in-law, maseret shenoteinla, he has to take off masrot from what he gives to her, vet shenotelim menu, and then he has to take off masrot from the stuff she gives back to him. He gives her wheat kernels to mill, then he takes off masrot before he hands it to her, and then he takes off masrot when she gives back to him the finished product. The reason being that we assume that she swapped it out. And therefore, he's not allowed to give her things that are not musar, because she's going to end up eating them. And when he gets it back, he has to take off masrot because it's probably her produce and not his produce. So you see that we do worry about that she swaps it out because he has to take off masrot for what he gives her and takes from her. Mipnei shechashuda machalefet hamit kalkel. Because we worry that she swaps out whatever went wrong. Anything that goes bad or she messes up in her processing, she replaces it with her own item. So you see over here, we worry about mechalefet. We worry about her exchanging it. It says, hatam kedani taima. There, the Mishnah says explicitly what we worry about. That is, Amar Rabbi Yehuda rotzehi b'takanat bita. She wants her daughter to be in good shape. Ubosha michatana. And she is embarrassed of her son-in-law. It's particular to the relationship here. It's a son-in-law-mother-in-law relationship where the mother-in-law is afraid to hand back bad stuff to her son-in-law because then he'll complain and it'll be bad for her daughter. So in order to protect her daughter and to please her son-in-law, she swaps out the bad stuff to make it look like everything was good. But that's not that everybody is going to swap it out. This is unique to that relationship. Gemara says, "Ula alma lo chashina." Is that really true? We don't worry about anybody else. It's just unique to this relationship. That's none. Don't we have a Mishnah? Hanotein de punt gatit maser etshu notein la vetshu notel heimena. If he gives over to the hostess of the bed and breakfast where he stays, he gives over to her items to mill. Then he takes off masrot when he gives her, and he takes off masrot for what he takes back from her. Mipnei shemechalefet, because she swaps them out. So again here, you see that we do worry about swapping out. How can you be mafkid items with them? Even if you're not worried about tuma, because they were not mukshar the kabul tuma yet, but you still have to worry about them swapping out and changing the materials that you left with them. How do you know you're getting back what you deposited with them? Here we see the Mishnah says, that when you give it to them, they change it out and give you back something else. Hatam, again, it says it's a unique relationship. The way that Rashi describes it is, this is a student by his Rebbe. So he's learning by his Rebbe, and he boards by this woman, by this bed and breakfast, and then he gives her his stuff to mail and to take care of him. And there it says, Hatam Moreya. She is Morehet there, Vamra, and she says, Barbe Rav Lecho Chamima Vani Echo Karira. He eats warm and I should eat cold. Rashi claims over here that this is a positive statement, that she's trying to fix things up for him, which is, he's not going to eat all of his stuff now. So what I'll do is I'll use part of his stuff now, give him fresh, and then later on, when he wants more, I'll replace it with mine so he always gets fresh. So that's the way Rashi learns it, that it, she's always wants to have the freshest stuff. So she'll give him some of his now, use the rest of his for herself, and then later on, when he wants more, she'll bring her fresh stuff and give him more fresh stuff. Tosafot disagrees and says, it says Moraya. Moraya, as we're going to see in the upcoming Gemara again, means Moreheter, which is meant she talks herself into or convinces herself that she's doing something okay. That means that she's really doing something wrong, but she justifies that action. And that's what the word Moraya means, and also over here, that's what it means. She's saying, I'm doing all this work to prepare his food. I shouldn't get hot food just like he gets hot food. And basically she takes from him because she says, I'll take the fresh stuff now and I'll eat with him fresh. And then later on, I'll give him my stuff and I'll eat not fresh when he eats not fresh too. And she says, why should I be different than him? But over there again, it's unique to the relationship. So since it's unique to the relationship, again, we say that that's why she is swapping it out. Vakate the Almalo Chashinan. And you're still telling me that we don't worry about swapping out? Vatanya, don't we have a braita? Eshet chaver tochenet im eshet amaretz b'vizman shehi tmeya. An eshet chaver, when she is tmeya, can work with her friend amaretz who is tmeya. Rashi claims over here, the worry is that she will come to eat from what they're working with. And since over here she's tmeya, she's makpedet not to eat anything because she knows she's tmeya. Avol b'vizman shehi torah. But she may not work with her when she's torah because then we're afraid that she's going to give over or eat stuff from there. Shimon Elazar Meir, that even in a case where she's tmeya, she shouldn't work with her because her friend might give it to her and she might end up eating it, forgetting and eating it. Now, Gemara says, Hashta mingav ganvo chagufei lo michlefo. If she's willing to steal, then certainly she's going to switch out or swap out the other individual's items. Someone who will directly steal certainly will steal in that hidden manner where they just swap out your produce with their produce. And that is because over here, our fear is that when the Eshet Chaver is working with the Eshet Amaretz, when she's Tmeya, the Eshet Chaver is not touching the food that she's working with. She's being careful because she doesn't want to be mitameyit, and therefore she won't eat from that which is there. On the other hand, when she's Tehora and she's directly engaged with the food, we're afraid that the Eshet Amaretz is going to give that to the Eshet Chaver to eat, and she will forget and eat it, even though it is Enu Mi'usar, or possibly Tmei'a. And as Rashi notes over here, the problem is that it's her husband's produce, and she's taking it and giving it away to other people. And because of that, she is a Ganaf, and since she is a thief, then certainly she'll do some switching like this. My answer is, I'm Rav Yosef Atamnami, Moriya of Amra, Tormi Dishei Kachil. Over there, once again, she's Morehet there, and it's unique to the relationship over here or the circumstance that she's in. Because she's working with the materials, she's moreheter to swap it out or to change hers with theirs and swapping it out because she says even a ox, when he is threshing, he's allowed to eat from the stuff that he threshes. I'm working with the materials here, so I can eat some of what she gave me and I'll replace it with my stuff. So again, we're worried about the Khalifa because she is working with the materials. When she works with the materials, she justifies her actions and says, well, I'm tochen, I'll eat some of hers right now and then I'll give her back some of mine later. But when she's not actively involved in it and just depositing with her, there they would not swap it out. That's only because she's directly engaged with it. But in a case of Hafkada, where you're simply depositing it with them, where they're not doing anything, they're not engaged with the produce, over there, we don't worry about achlafa. We don't worry about it being exchanged out. That's the way that Rashi explains it. The main problem that Tosafot has with that is the fact that when a woman takes some small produce from what her husband gives her to work with and then gives it to a friend, that people are not makbid on. That's not called geneva. And therefore, Tosafot says that the fine distinction that we made by Rashi here and in the Gemara and Chulin as well are very difficult to understand, and therefore he favors the explanation of the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Hananel, that it's actually just the opposite the case here. We're talking about the produce of the Chaver, and the Eshet Am Haaretz is coming to help out the Eshet Chaver with this. And what the Tosefta says is that when the Eshet Am Haaretz is Tmeyah, but she knows she's Tmeyah, then she can come and work because she knows not to touch anything. She knows to stay away because she knows she's Tmeyah. On the other hand, when the Eshet Am Haaretz is Tehora, or she thinks she's Tehora, she's not Makpedet on not touching the items. And therefore she'll make them Tmeyim. And so therefore when she's Tehora, we don't allow her to come and help the Eshet Chaver because she will then touch the produce and make it Tamei. And then along comes Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, even Bizman Shi Tmeyah, even when she's Tmeyah, we don't allow her to engage and to help out the Eshet Chaver because maybe she won't eat. But Bipnei Shechaverta Eshet Am Haaretz Acher, so that she will give it not to herself to eat, but she'll hand it to one of her friends to eat. She's Ruah Hi Torah Yotenet La Vochelet, because she thinks she's Torah, and then she will give it to her to eat. Meaning that even though she thinks she is Tmeyah, she thinks her buddy, the other Eshet Am Haaretz, is Tehorah, and she'll give her some of the food she's working with to eat. If that's the case, she's really a ganaf. She's stealing that. She doesn't have a right to take it and give it to someone else. She might have a right to eat some of it when she's working with it, but she certainly doesn't have the right to give it to a third party. Therefore, she is a ganaf. If she's a thief, then certainly we have to worry about her being michlaf chalif, swapping it out. And then we come around again to the answer of Rav Yosef, which is that there she's moreheter. Since she's working with it, she justifies taking some for herself, giving it to someone else. But when you just mafkid it, when you just simply deposit it with them, she would not be moreheter in that manner. So again, this is a unique case where we worry about swapping out. We generally do not worry about people switching out what you deposit with them. In all the three cases that we brought here, it's unique. And we'll stop here at three lines down on the top of Samach Bet Amud Aleph.